work that went in. It was not easy doing this, and just hope that you were blessed and you're ministered to by it. Luke chapter 22, verse 45 says, "And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him." Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, "Lend Me Your Ears." And so I'll just ask that you do that for just, again, 10, 15 minutes, if you can lend me your ears. And I'm very happy to see all of you here, and that you're not here by happenstance or by mistake, but it's by divine providence that God has a word for you to change your life, and we want to minister to you in this capacity. And so let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, right now, we just thank you and worship you. We lift you up, God, for your spirit, for your sacrifice, what you did at Calvary. God, not only for your death, but mostly for your life, for the resurrection power that we are feeling today. And I just speak right now in the name of Jesus that the power of God would even begin to grip the hearts and minds of this audience, that they would, Lord Jesus, would experience your love and your mercy and your grace, and that they, oh Lord God, hallelujah, would come into relationship and fellowship with you. And we thank you right now and give you praise and glory. And in Jesus' name, let the church living God say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. One of my past professions was that I was a high school teacher. I had the privilege of doing that for 3 years. And one of the most frustrating things as a teacher is to have a group of people walk into my room who, by entering my premises, are admitting to ignorance and that they don't know anything. But yet, when I try to tell them information that is vital to their success, they don't listen to me. You ever told someone some vital information and they refuse to listen to you? They don't want to take your advice or counsel. And they start talking over me and, like, you know, throwing spitballs and all the other foolishness that teenagers do to ignore the vital information that I'm trying to give them, as if they already know everything I know. And as I said, the fact that they've crossed the threshold of my door is a direct admission that they don't know something, and I do. Yet they don't want to listen. The very fact that you cross the threshold of this church is admission that there's something in here that you need. There's something in this place, or something that is within the confines of this Bible that you require and that you need to hear today. And the thing is, what I've told my students before, who have made terrible choices, I said, don't, you know, beat yourself up. Because you're not stupid, you're not an idiot, okay? The mark of an idiot or someone who is stupid or dumb is not someone who makes bad choices or bad decisions. It's someone who refuses to learn or to receive instruction concerning those bad decisions. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." In Proverbs 14:16, the Bible says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." The Bible defines a fool as someone who refuses to learn. I worked in a place, a facility of education, of information, and yet my students refused to learn. They would fight me tooth and nail to not get the vital information that I was trying to disseminate to them that was critical for their success. They would fight me, talk over me, get out of their seat and walk out of the classroom. They would do all sorts of horrible things to stop me from making them smarter. How ridiculous is that? Pretty ridiculous. And one of the things that I've noticed, especially as a man of God, as a preacher of the gospel, that people, humankind, have the same issue, not just in regards to education, but in regards to salvation. My objective today is not to educate you. It's not to inform you. We think that information and education makes a person intelligent and smart. It doesn't. It just makes a person more informed in how to disobey and how to indulge in their own proclivities. Educating a murderer doesn't make him stop murdering. It just makes him a smarter murderer. Now he knows how to get away with it. It's not education we need. It's not information that we need. Ignorance is not necessarily the problem. The problem is persuasion. When you're persuaded about something, you believe in the thing and you change and alter your behavior to accommodate that belief. I'm not here to inform you about Jesus. I'm sure all of you guys know about him. My objective is to persuade you to believe in this Jesus to such a degree that you would alter your course. How many times have we heard a sermon or a message on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ only to think that we have heard it all? How many times have we heard, yes, Jesus died for me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, he died for me. Yes, he took my sins. And yes, he was raised the third day. We've heard this over and over and over again to a point that we are desensitized and we think we know it all. And although we have been informed, we have not been persuaded to the truth and the merit and the credibility of the gospel that it would actually cause us to alter our lifestyle and actually invest in this Jesus who has invested his entire life in us. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:31 that the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. The instruction I'm giving to you today is to fully commit yourself to Christ and to fully understand and listen to the gospel that I'm going to be preaching to you today. I want to go back to my scripture text in Luke chapter 22. Verse 45, as we were going through the presentation, we saw regarding how Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in utter anguish and agony regarding the plight that was to face him. For the first time, he was going to experience the taint and the horror of sin and evil and wickedness. He was going to feel immense pain and suffering that no human being should ever have to suffer. And as he was in that mentality of agony, he was now confronted with his destiny. We find in Luke 22, verse 45. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw that they that would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far. And he touched his ear and healed them. This is a very significant event. The very last miracle Jesus ever performed prior to his crucifixion was healing somebody who couldn't hear. And what I find interesting regarding this is that this individual that lost their hearing, the meaning of their names, and the individual that took away the person's hearing. In John chapter 18, verse number 8 in John's gospel regarding this incident, Jesus answered, this is John 18 verse 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. They just asked whether he is the one that they're looking for, the band of men that were trying to arrest him. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servants, and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink it? We discover that the name of the disciple that cut off the servant's ear is none other than Peter. Peter's first name was Simon. And Simon is the abbreviated version of the Hebrew name Simeon, which means, his name means to hearken or to hear. The person's ear that he cut off was named Malchus. Malchus, his name means king or kingdom. So let's put this together here. Somebody who could hear, someone whose name means I hear, I listen, cut off the ear of the kingdom. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Luke 17, 20, the Bible says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. What am I saying here today, folks? How many of you have turned your ears from hearing about Jesus because someone who had heard the gospel came and cut off your ear? Somebody in the church offended you. Somebody in the church maybe might have told you the truth about the wickedness that you're living in, the condition that you're living in, and you turn your head and say, I don't want to hear it, and your ears got cut off. But I want to tell you and serve you notice today that Jesus wants to heal your ears and allow you to hear the truth about how much he loves you. The person who heard the word, the person that listened, cut off the ear of the kingdom. This is also an indictment against the church, that so many self-righteous, judgmental Christians come to sinners and start speaking ill about them and treating them horribly as opposed to showing them the love that Jesus Christ has for them. Jesus said that ye shall know that you're my disciples by the love that you have one to another. Church, we must not cut off the ears of those that are trying to be saved. Malchus, as the scripture says, was the servant of the high priest. That word servant in the Greek is doulos. It doesn't mean servant, it means slave. He was a slave to the high priest. And so many people who have not been born again are a slave to the law. They're a slave to the condemnation that they are facing. They're enslaved by their habits, enslaved by their addictions, enslaved by their relationships. And the person that's supposed to set them free, that God has commissioned for this task, is the church, those who have heard. But I want to offer you this opportunity to lend me your ears just for one moment and to hear how much Jesus Christ loves you, that God's grace, as the scripture says, is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. His peace passeth all understanding. His joy is unspeakable and full of glory. His loving kindness is better than life itself. To be in his presence is the best thing that there ever is. Lend me your ears. I know you've heard it all before. I know you've heard the gospel. I know that you've heard that this Jesus that I preach unto you today suffered and died, was brutalized, scandalized, and vandalized, that he was isolated and ostracized, that he was whipped for our iniquities, he was bruised and he was hurt for our sins. You've heard it all. But I ask you to really listen and to really fathom the depth of Christ's love for you and not to turn your ears away from God. Jesus wants to heal the ears just like he did to Malchus. Unfortunately, the church might have cut your ear off. But Jesus is here to put that ear back on so that you can hear how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. I know you've been offended. Some of the most hurt folk are the people sitting in church. Been betrayed or backstabbed, been gossiped about. Unfortunately, the church did not fully represent what Christ is all about, and your ears have been cut off. And so when someone starts talking about Jesus, oh yeah, I heard about Jesus. You're being a fool because you're refusing instruction. Remember, I said that the mark of a fool is not just someone who makes a bad decision, not just someone who makes a bad choice, but someone who refuses to learn, refuses to hear the heartbeat of God, who says, but God commendeth his love towards us, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lend me your ears. I got to wrap this up. Lend me your ears. The thing is, Malchus had to let Jesus heal him. The very person that he was trying to arrest and trying to persecute healed him. I mean, if you got your ear cut off, you'd be freaking out, wouldn't you? I mean, you might try and find it and try and pick it up just for old time's sake and have a souvenir. But Jesus immediately picked up that ear and he put it on Malchus's ear so he could hear. The last miracle that Jesus did was to heal someone who could not hear. This is the miracle that Jesus wants to demonstrate today. Are you listening really to his heart? Sister Johnny had a word earlier today that there's someone within our audience who thinks they've gone too far. Yes, you've heard that Jesus loves me and Jesus forgives me, and you think that your sin is greater than his sacrifice. It isn't. His love is greater. As the song says, that it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. But you've got to really listen. Really consider and listen how much Jesus Christ loves you and how much you are missing out on by remaining in bondage to the high priests of the law, to the high priest of sin, that allow Christ to heal your ears. Let's stand. I gotta quit. I said 10, 15 minutes, so I'm gonna keep to that. Jesus Christ loves you today. He loves you so much. More than words could ever say. More than any type of poem could describe or capture. He loves you. He really loves you. Like, I'm serious, he really loves you. And I have to emphasize this point because this whole point is about listening. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels, in Mark chapter 4 and also I believe in Matthew chapter 13, he talked about the parable of the sower and that there were different types of soils. I think one of the most sad parts about that story, that parable is talking about people's heart conditions. That there was a farmer who was throwing and casting seed, and some seed fell on the wayside or on a footpath. Some seed fell on a thorny ground, a ground that had a lot of thorns, and some seed fell on rocky soil. It was very shallow, and some seed fell on good soil. And in the parable, the farmer represents himself or represents the preacher of the gospel. The seed represents his word. The soil, the ground, represents our hearts. The very first type of soil that he talked about that fell by the wayside, the Bible says that the fowls or the birds of the air came and they devoured the seed. So the seed never got inside of the soil. And the Bible says that the fowls or the birds of the air represent Satan. That before the word of God can get inside of your heart, he wants to steal it. Because if the word gets inside of your heart, there's going to be a change. For the Bible says that thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So even as I have been preaching and telling you this vital information, the enemy has done everything he can to distract you. You're thinking about what restaurant you're going to go to when you leave here. You're thinking to leave the stove on last night or before I left for church. You're thinking about your favorite TV show that's coming on tonight. You're thinking about maybe the bills that you have to pay when you leave here. The devil's putting every thought he can into your mind to prevent this from getting inside of your heart. And the only way it gets inside of your heart is by hearing. Jesus is saying, I really want your heart. But in order for me to get your heart, I need you to lend me your ears. And really, truly listen how much I love you. This is your opportunity to make a change. Don't just blow this off as just another public service announcement. Just another crazed preacher telling you about Jesus. Just another saint just giving you this information. This is heaven and this is hell. This is eternity. And today you can change your destiny. Will you lend your ears? Don't allow the past where somebody might have cut off your ears. Maybe the person that cut off your ear was not necessarily a person. Maybe it was a situation. Maybe it was a circumstance. You've experienced atrocity. You've experienced tragedy. You've experienced horrible, horrible pain and hurt. And that pain has caused your ears to become dull of hearing, to ever experiencing the gospel of Christ. How can I believe in a God that loves me when I was weeping last night? Where is God when I was going through this tragedy? I tell you, lend him your ears. And allow him to tell you. Allow him to heal your pain. I'm trying to quit, but I'm reaching for somebody. I don't want this Easter to be, or should say this Resurrection Sunday, be wasted for nothing. Somebody needs to come to know Jesus today. And this is your day. Lend me your ears today. Lend him your ears and truly hear what God has to say. God bless you.